Well, let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. This is a little bit different because for the last few months we've been preaching through the Gospel of John. However, in light of the circumstances and the things that have been going on recently, for some reason the Lord kept bringing up Psalm 42 in my mind. I went back and read it and reread it for my own personal benefit. And then I saw how beneficial this psalm could be for you as well this week in light of what's happening. And I think it is extremely relevant given the situation. And so we already read it in our scripture reading. And but let's just pray and ask God to bless the preaching of his word. And let me just say that there's a lot of temptations while we're at home watching a service like this online. And so I would just ask for the whole family that's watching just to be at full attention. It's not like we're in the auditorium here and you're with a crowd of people. But, you know, I would just ask that you respect the preaching of God's word, that you have your Bibles open, ready to go. You know, that just act like you're here. And just give God his respect as his word is being proclaimed and honored. You have that reverence for God's word. So let's pray. Father, help us now, as your word is preached, to help minister the Holy Spirit's words in this psalm to our heart. And God, may we just leave today and the service with a desire for you, a greater hunger for worship. In Jesus' name, amen. You may already know, but the Psalms are songs. They were the ancient hymn book of Israel. And it was the songbook of Jesus. And so Jesus sang these songs. And it's music. And we all know that music at its core expresses emotions. And there's different kinds of songs that go with different kinds of emotions. There's sad songs and happy songs. There's romantic songs. And there's even songs that even might imply some suspense or fright. But the book of Psalms, very similarly, are used in this way. They're full of emotions. They're full of ups and downs. They're full of questions and praises and depression and anger. It's amazing how much raw emotions are expressed in the Psalms. And they are inspired scripture. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 42 is a psalm that deals a lot with spiritual depression. And we're going to see what caused the spiritual depression of the psalmist in this particular psalm. But before I do so, because I probably will forget, one of the best books you can read on this subject is a book by one of my favorite dead guys, Martin Lloyd-Jones. And it's a book called Spiritual Depression. It's available on Kindle or, Amazon, or just go ahead and research it. And it's the book you're going to want to read about spiritual depression, the causes and the effects of it. And so let's look at Psalm 42. It's worthy to be noted here that actually Psalm 42 and 43 actually belong together at one time. Many Hebrew manuscripts even include them as one psalm. In our English Bibles, they are broken up separately like that. It's interesting because they share the same refrain, Psalm 42 verses 5 and 11 and Psalm 43 verse 5 all have the same kind of refrain, or the chorus, if you will. And so it begins, "To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah." The sons of Korah were a subgroup of priests who were in charge of the singing in the temple. They were also the gatekeepers of the temple as well. And it says that it's a maskil. Now, the word maskil is literally a Hebrew transliteration, which means we don't know what it is, so we sounded it out in English, how the Hebrew sound word looks like. And so a maskil. But at its root, the verb maskil has instruction at its core. And so we could say that this song is to teach us something. It's a song that the sons of Korah created to instruct us. And what is he going to instruct us in? And particularly the psalmist here is depressed, and we're going to see why he's so. Verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Here's a lot of this emotion that I was trying to express to you earlier. From the very first verse, in great poetic fashion, the psalmist depicts his longing for God. He compares it as a deer who looks for flowing water, flowing streams. And that would imply that there's a drought happening, where there's not a lot of water to be found. And if the deer doesn't get a drink soon, it will die. What he's saying here is, as a deer looks for water in the face of death and has great thirst and longings that need to be quenched, so my soul, God, also longs for you. Isn't that beautiful? The word pants here, translated in our English, is the word for cravings or just deep desires. The deer's looking for this flowing water. And actually, this is not unique to Psalm 42. In Joel 1:20, similar language is used. And this is what Joel 1:20 says. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, because the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The animal needs water to sustain its life. And in a fitting simile, the psalmist says, as a deer needs water to live, O God, I need you to live. I need you to survive. I need you. God, I'm all dried up without you. He desires God. He pants for God. Now, notice, it doesn't say here he desires God for what God does. He desires and pants after God. See, there's a big difference in that. I think a lot of people desire God for the things they can get from God. And this is why the prosperity gospel is so popular today, that heresy that says that God just wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And so people who follow that false gospel go after the blessings instead of the blesser. They go after the thing that the Creator creates instead of the Creator himself. And Charles Spurgeon said this, like the parched traveler in the wilderness whose skin bottle is empty and who finds the wells dry, he must drink or die. He must have his God or faint. He says in verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Oh, that's so, you can just see the emotion coming out of him and his desire for God. Well, my first question, without going deeper into the psalm, is what is causing this desire? Why isn't he being fulfilled or satisfied in his God now? And we'll see that in just a little bit. But there's something that is causing this from happening. He is thirsty. And so usually when we are thirsty, we go to things, we go to something that will quench that thirst. And so a lot of people do, don't they? We're thirsty for God. We're thirsty for spiritual things as believers. God has created that thirst within us, that longing to be satisfied in Him. But then again, we fill it with all sorts of junk. We fill it with all sorts of things that don't matter, things that give temporary peace and happiness, things that we make into idols. We idolize the things that God can give us. And then we're still left thirsty. We're still left unsatisfied. And we wonder why. But again, he's saying, my soul thirsts for God. He has a proper desire. The question is, why does he have this desire? And notice he says, for the living God. This stands in stark contrast to the dead idols that the rest of his country worshipped. Idols made out of stone and wood. False gods that were dedicated to objects. The psalmist knows that his God is living. It's not like that stump carved into some animal that represents some fake God that doesn't exist. The psalmist knows that his God is the living God. He speaks. He cares. He loves. He's merciful and gracious. So important. And so, what does our souls thirst after today? We were made to worship. See, the question, and it's been said many times, the question is not if we will worship. The question is, who will we worship and how will we worship Him? We worship whether we know it or not. We were created for that. And the psalmist knows that his desire, his longing to worship God, which somehow is being unsatisfied, can only be solved in Him. We sit there and wonder, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us when we go after the wrong things? We shouldn't wonder that at all. We shouldn't wonder when we go through spiritual dry spells, where we go through feelings and desires that we just can't shake, like we're in a spiritual rut. And then we wonder and examine our hearts and wonder, well, have I been in the Word? Have I been in fellowship with believers? Have I gathered with the local church to lift Him up and to praise Him all together? He asked this question, when shall I come and appear before God? Now, what he's talking about here is temple worship. When can he go to the temple again? See, now we know the longing, the reason for his thirst. He can't go to worship as he is accustomed to worshiping. Where do Jews worship God back in this day? In Jerusalem, at the temple, there are sacrifices, there are priests, there are sons of Korah who are leading and singing and doing all sorts of festivities in the temple to lead the people of God in worship. Something has happened to the psalmist here where he can't be there. He's not there, and he is longing for those days and that time where he did lift up God, he did celebrate God and lead God's people in worship. And this has torn him up. He says in verse 3, because he can't be there, because he can't go worship God, he says, my tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? You know, I read this psalm and it just hit me in the face. As a pastor, when I began to process the information that was coming in about this coronavirus, it occurred to me very quickly that things were changing at a rapid pace. And what would that mean and matter for our congregation? And then it seemed like hour by hour the news changed and the news got worse and worse. The CDC issued a statement saying Sunday night, no gatherings of 50 people for 8 weeks. And then the next day, the president and his task force declared no gatherings of 10 or more for 15 days. And we fully expect that even to last longer than that. I began the process. When can we be together as a church again? When can we come and worship our God together? And let me remind you, as I did last week, this, what we're doing here, is not church. There's no such thing as online church. Church is when we gather together as the people of God, as an expression of the visible gospel, that we are the redeemed people of God, singing praises to our God and elevating and magnifying King Jesus. This is not church. And my heart began to ask questions. When can we come in and worship together? And I began, I'm just being honest with you. I got so discouraged. I got so depressed about that for a little bit. I did. I was down in the dumps trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get to the next place? We can't do church online. Are you kidding me? I have to preach to a camera for the next several weeks. God, when can we come in before you and hear your people sing? When can we come in before you, God, and hear your people read the word together and fellowship together? I'm resonating a lot with the psalmist, and maybe now you know why I decided to preach this today. This has really gripped my heart this week. And I hope, if anything, that this period of time, where this great trial that we're in and that we can't gather because of this pandemic, if anything good comes from it, I pray that nobody in our church will ever, ever again take for granted worship with God's people. This is such a gift that God has given us. What is a gift? Dan's our gift? No, I'm no gift. Being together is a grace of God. Coming together and observing the Lord's Supper together, that's a grace of God. Singing together is a grace of God. This is how God has ordained it. Together. In person. That's church. It doesn't matter where we do it, as long as we're together. Read Acts chapter 2. The key word there in 41 to 47 is that they were together and had all things in common. And so this absence makes our heart ache for togetherness, for longing, so we could worship God. This is what the psalmist is experiencing. An absence of worship of God, the way God had ordained. And there, God ordained that worship was in temple. You go to the temple to worship God. And he's really discouraged about it. My tears have been my food day and night. Interestingly, we just saw last week in John 4 how Jesus told his disciples that his food was to do the will and work of him who sent him, his Father. Well, here in very similar language, the psalmist also says what? My tears have been my food day and night. Wow. This is all he's thinking of. He's so discouraged. Whatever's happened to him to exile him from the temple and from Jerusalem, he's up all day and all night. And it's become his driving passion, his longing for God. But then, there's persecution that happens here too. While people are saying to him, "Where is your God? What happened here? You were doing so well. Where is your God? When are you going to go worship him again? Your God's not in control." If there really was a God, there wouldn't be a coronavirus all over the world, right? If there really was a God, then his people would be in church today, together. And there's all sorts of things that you watch will be coming out in the news very shortly. Where is your God? And this longing for God, accompanied with persecution from others or discouraging statements, can drive one into madness. Depression is a nasty thing. Discouragement is a nasty thing. But that discouragement, if left unattended, will get worse. Unless you're purposeful with it, unless you do something with it, unless your mind and heart are redirected in the right place. And this is what he says. "These things I remember." Oh, he's remembering something. How does he cure his depression? "I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival." What is keeping him going until he can go back to the temple to worship? The remembering of what he had and how good it was, and how he would go up with the throng, with the multitudes, keeping festival and leading them in procession. He remembers the good times. He remembers the praises that he had led before. The thing that so satisfied his heart. He, in this moment where he doesn't have it, is dwelling on that in his mind, in his memory. He's remembering the glorious days. Oh God, give us a longing for those days. And like I said, if anything good comes from this, that nobody will take this church, Northwest Baptist Church, gathering together as God's people, for granted. May none of us ever say, "So I missed a Sunday, no big deal." It is a big deal. This is what God has ordained for us. Oh, let me miss two or three Sundays. No big deal. Now, of course, there are circumstances where we're ill or we have to be away or we're on a trip. But those are exceptions, not the rule. May God give us a longing, a hunger, a desire, like a deer in a drought looks for water. May God ignite our hearts for worship, to be together as God's people again. And then verse 5, you might think he's crazy because he starts talking to himself. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" Listen, sometimes people say talking to yourself, you may be going crazy. This is a good talking to yourself. Sometimes we need to stop listening to ourselves and start talking to ourselves. Why is that? Because nobody lies to you more than you do. Nobody lies to Dan more than Dan. But when I'm feeling down and discouraged and depressed, all sorts of thoughts come into my head as far as, well, what about this and what about that? And I can't believe this, and on and on and on. We need to stop listening to ourselves and start talking to ourselves in the right way. This is what the psalmist does. He asks himself the question, "What's wrong with you? Why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you in turmoil that my food is my tears day and night?" And the words here are so full of imagery. The word "cast down" gives the image of a ship that took on too much water, that burdens that have created weight that the ship is going down. That's what the word cast down means. And turmoil means to murmur or growl or to be boisterous. It's like when you have a bad stomach ache and your stomach won't settle down. Oh, my soul, why are you cast down like a ship ready to sink because it took on too much water? Why, oh soul, are you like my stomach who just had some really bad cooking or spoiled food? He asks himself, why? But he doesn't leave it there. Look, as he continues at the end of verse 5, what does he tell himself? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. So his solution was to hope. This word hope in the Hebrew is expectant waiting. Remember, he's remembering those days. He's letting those days fuel his passion for the future. And now he is hoping. And that's not a hoping like a if, maybe. No, it's a expectant. It will happen again. It's not a passive activity. He believes his hope is in God and it's not in vain. And he confidently expresses this. And we see here where he is. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. That's way out north of Jerusalem, of Israel. It's on the outer reaches. He's far from home. Even from here, where I can't be where I'm at, I will worship you. I will praise you, O God, for you are good. I will remember it. I will expectantly wait until I can gather to see you and worship again with your people. But how do we expectantly wait? How do we put our hope in God? Those are good questions. And again, I go back to the beginning. My soul longs for you, O God. We must have a God-centered faith. We must immerse ourselves in God, in everything about God and His person and His character and His nature. It must focus there. That must be the foundation of our expectant hope. Like he said, of the deer who pants for the streaming waters. How do we do this? First, I think we need to preach to ourselves, like I just mentioned. He preached to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Ask yourselves those questions. Why am I discouraged? Why am I depressed? I know what is true. I know that what has happened before, and I will remember those good days and wait for it to happen again. I think one of the ways that we can do this, and it's just not in a moment of an absence of worship, but what we can do is also understand that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Now, that doesn't mean you need to get born again. It means that we need a reminder every day of who we are in Jesus Christ. We can let our sins weigh us down. We can let our guilt drive us to discouragement and despair. We must remind ourselves every day that Jesus Christ chose me. He died for me. He bled for me. He rose again from the dead to give victory and give me victory from death and sin. And he did all of this in spite of me. He did all of this even knowing the worst about me. I need to remind myself when I'm discouraged and depressed who I am in Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. It's so important. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. I am in Jesus Christ and I am secure in Him. And there's nothing that could happen to me today that will change that reality from being true. Secondly, we must persist in the Word and in prayer. We must be persistent in God's Word. Expect to be spiritually depressed if you're not in God's Word. If you're not reading, and I'm not just talking about when you're coming to church on Sunday and you're opening up your Bible. If that's the only time you're opening up the Scriptures, you're probably spiritually depressed quite often. We must be in the Word and drink it up and eat it up like the deer who's in a drought, passionate to find water or he die. We must be looking for God's Word so that we can be fed and satisfied. It is there where we will meet God. It is there where we hear God speak. And also in prayer. And I'm just not talking about praying for your meal, saying grace for the meal, or maybe a little bedtime prayer good night. We must pray with anguishing adoration. Let me say that again. We must pray with anguishing adoration. What does that mean? Anguishing adoration. Anguish is turmoil. It reveals the true condition of your heart and where you find yourself today. And adoration leads you to praise God. Let me show you from this psalm what he does. In verse 7, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. He's seeing the anguish. God, it feels like I'm drowning in the ocean. The waves are crashing over my head. I could hear the strength and the force of the waters sending me down. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. That is anguishing adoration. He's telling God how he feels, his anguish. He feels like he's drowning. But then he reminds himself of God and his worship of God by what? God commands His steadfast love over me. And even at nighttime, in the darkest part of the day, a prayer to the God of my life. He says in verse 9, here's more anguishing adoration. I say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? And then, that's the anguish. Here's the adoration. Again, he preaches to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Again, he does it again. Anguishing adoration. God, here's how I feel. This is what's wrong with me. God, help me. I need you. And then he ends with praise. He ends with praise. In his anguish, he praises God. I think we often separate those two. We've got anguish, suffering on this hand, and then we've got worship over here. You cannot do that. If you separate your suffering from your praise, you will be depressed. You must worship God even through suffering, even through sickness and pain. This won't be easy. It won't be easy. But you must do it, because it is that will fuel your joy. It is that which will help you as a deer find those streams of water and be satisfied. It's the anguish that keeps us pushing forward and longing for God. I guarantee you, if you never had any struggles, if you never had any temptations or trials in your life, you wouldn't love God as much as you do now. But it's in those anguishing moments that your heart turns all of that into adoration. Remember what Job says? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is that? Anguishing adoration. So, what do we need to take from this? We take from this that God uses even things like the coronavirus, who He is sovereign over, to bring His people to praise Him, to bring rebels around the world to praise Him. Why this happened, I don't understand, but I know God is using it. And I know God will use it for His glory. His people will be better through it and for it. His church will be stronger in spite of it. Why? Because all of this makes us worship our God more intimately, more passionately, and more deeply. So may you know what it means to have anguishing adoration. That you fall on your knees and you spill your heart out before God. God, I don't know what's going on. Oh, my soul, what's wrong with you? But hope in God. I will again praise you. See, I think that's the kind of worship that God desires. Sometimes we want to run away from doubt. We want to run away from questions. And oh, that's not Christian to do that. But let those things propel you closer to God. This is what the psalmist did. I've been up all night. My tears have been my food. People are persecuting me, asking me, where's your God? They're trying to make me give up. I'm trying to make myself give up. But soul, let me preach to you. Let me remind you of the gospel. Let me read the word and persist in prayer. And thirdly, let me persevere by knowing the attributes of God. The attribute of today is that God is good. Go to bed tonight and remember this. God is good. God is good. He's holy. He's worthy of all praise. He's to be honored and worshipped. And Jesus Christ is to be magnified. He died, He was buried, and He has risen again for sinners like me. Oh God, be magnified. And propel my soul to be satisfied more fully in You. And nothing else. May Jesus Christ be praised. Well, I want to pray for you as we conclude our time. And if you're there and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are not born again, you don't know God, we want to help you know that. You need to know that Jesus Christ absorbed the wrath of God on behalf of sinners like me and you. And when you call out to Him and you see Him and you accept His gift that He has given you, which is His life, and you repent of your sins, you can be forgiven of everything that's on your account before God. And Jesus Christ has done this completely and fully. I want to talk to you. I want to help you. Call me at the church office. Email me. Let me know how we can be a help to you. And Christian, I pray that even in a moment like this that we're experiencing, that A, your heart longs for corporate worship. I pray as you're watching this on your smartphone, your tablet, or on your computer, that you say, okay, this is better than nothing, but let me be with God's people. May your heart long even more for worship. And also, Some of you may be getting sick. Some of you may be discouraged and depressed. Some of you may have some other crazy things of life happen to you in these days. Whatever that is, may you learn as a psalmist what anguishing adoration looks like and why it's good for your soul. Father, help us as we conclude this service. Help us to know what you would have us know about yourself and about Jesus Christ. And God, give us this longing for worship again. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, thank you so much for joining us for these days where we have to communicate like this. We long to be with you once again, and hopefully it will be very, very soon. We're praying for you. Thank you for watching. Please make sure you share this video on your social media accounts or email it to somebody and let somebody else know and experience the Word of God today. God bless you.